The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Sunday morning, we set aside this time to be present with ourselves, to be present with each other, to be present with that mystery which we create in our relationships, right? And worship starts each week with a musical prelude to help us sort of an introduction from the outside world coming into the space in this time. And today I want to make sure that everyone knows that Leonard Cohen sings slowly. And Anthem, which we are going to listen to, is a little bit longer than our normal prelude. So this is on purpose. Don't get anxious. You're welcome to watch the lyrics on the screen. You're welcome to let the music and the words flow over you. And also, last week, I handed out rocks. I have my rock in my pocket as reminders to keep on you in some fashion, in a pocket or in a purse or somewhere. So you, a reminder constantly to be compassionate and to choose compassion. If you wish, if you didn't get one, if you need another reminder, if you lost yours during the prelude or anytime during the service, feel free to come up and take another rock. Now, let us come into this holy and special time with this holy and special music.
They sing at the break of day. Start again, I heard them say. Don't dwell on what has passed away or what is yet to be. Yeah, the war, they will be fought again. The holy dove, she will be cut again. Bought and sold and bought again. The dove is never free. That's how the light gets in. some. You can strike up the march. There is no drum. Every heart to love will come, but like a refugee. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a how the light gets in.
Sometimes an entire message can be summed up in a few lines of poetry, and this is it right here, when he says, there is a crack in everything, and that's how the light gets in. There's a crack in all of us. None of us are perfect. That's how we let the light in. I'm Reverend Andrew Weber, and part of my ministry here at Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship is to show my imperfections. I'm a spiritual leader among spiritual leaders, a guide for this journey of life, and I can guarantee you that I will mess up. Often. You will see me mess up. I can guarantee that. I'm imperfect. I have proverbial cracks, just as I can guarantee you that you will mess up, that you are imperfect, that you have those proverbial cracks. Here's the thing, is our faith, this amazing, life-affirming, love-giving faith of Unitarian Universalism says, yes, yes, you are imperfect. Oh my gosh, yes, you are flawed, but you are still beloved. You are still worthy of love. You still have dignity because you are a human being with those cracks, with those imperfections, right? And in this vein of Unitarian Universalism, in this community of seekers, we join together to face the world, promoting justice, equality, compassion for all people while striving for justice, equity, and peace. The symbol of our faith is the flaming chalice, a cup holding sacred warmth. And we take a moment to light this flame at communal gatherings, sometimes at committee meetings, at small group ministries, and in our weekly worship. I've asked the worship committee to come forward and join me this morning in lighting our chalice, and whomever is a member of that committee and wants to come up may now do so. this group of people do not create each service. They do not create every single worship service, but this group of committee does coordinate our weekly services, right? They coordinate, they support many members in sharing individual truths and searches. And if you are curious about how worship gets created, if you're like, why did he pick that? Or what's this person doing? Or who chose this speaker? I invite you to come after service today for our worship workshop, which will be here. We haven't decided that. I'm deciding it right now. It's going to be here right after service. So come. Or if you're like, I have this great idea that I want to present, or I have a great idea that I want someone else to present, come. Give us those ideas. Let us know. Stay after service today for our worship workshop. Are we all ready? Perfect. We figured it out. Sometimes things happen on the fly. All right, we are going. Committee meeting right here. Our chalice lighting words this morning are called chalice lighting in times of conflict. But I think these words speak not just to times of conflict, but times when we're not in conflict too. Please, Anne.
You who feel your heart is breaking, come in.
You who are confused and wondering, come in.
You who are angry, in pain, or not wanting to be here, come in.
You who are hopeful and energized, come in.
Come into this community of your heart where you have been held in love and in comfort, where you have shared your joy and your spirit, where you have asked questions because you felt they needed asking, where you have found friendship and companions, where you have sometimes not agreed and sometimes not felt comforted and sometimes not felt heard.
Bring your broken heart and your grief. Share them.
Bring your confusion and your questions and share them.
Bring your anger and your pain. Share them.
Bring your hope and your energy. Share them.
For here, in this place, we can be together. We can gather in all the conflicting emotions tumbling around in our heads and in our hearts. We can bring them together here and lay them on the altar of community. For community means that fragile, non-perfect human beings can come together in the name of peace and seek to find peace again.
Peace.
Hope.
Healing.
May it be so.
At TPUF, we light a second flame each Sunday as a constant reminder that we strive for peace in our hearts, that we strive for peace in the world. Please respond with the words on the screen. May peace be with us
and with all the people of the world.
Thank you, Worship Committee.
It's not lightning.
Sometimes peace takes work. Our opening hymn today is 311, Let It Be a Dance. You may rise in body or in spirit, and during the hymns or at any time, feel free to come up if you still need a rock, need a reminder to be compassionate. The hymnals are in the back, and I have a note from our tech team.
We have a quick question from the audience on Zoom,
yeah.
And that is, will our worship workshop after service today be able to be done in a way that our Zoom participants could join as well?
What do we say? Can we do that on Zoom? I don't see why not.
Up to the tech team?
Tech team?
We can make it happen.
Yes. If you want to attend virtually, you can. We'd love to have you.
Thank you, Reverend Weber, and thank you, Worship Committee. Mm-hmm.
Let it be a dance we do. 311.
This dance with you through the good times and the bad times too. Let it be a dance. Let a dancing song be heard. Play the music, say the word, and fill the sky with sailing.
Okay, we have a story today, and the story is called The Rabbit Listened by Corey Dorfeld. One day, Taylor decided to build something new, something special, something amazing. Taylor was so proud. But then, out of nowhere, things came crashing down. The chicken was the first to notice. Cluck, cluck, what a shame. I'm so sorry, sorry, sorry this happened. Let's talk, talk, talk about it. Cluck, cluck. But Taylor didn't feel like talking, so the chicken left. Next came the bear. Grr, grr, how horrible. I'll bet you feel so angry. Let's shout about it. Grr, grr, grr. But Taylor didn't feel like shouting, So the bear left. The elephant knew just what to do. Trump, da-da, I can fix this. We just need to remember exactly the way things were. But Taylor didn't feel like remembering, so the elephant also left. One by one they came. The hyena, hee-hee, let's laugh about it. The ostrich, gulp, let's hide and pretend nothing happened. The kangaroo, tisk-tisk, what a mess, let's throw it all away. And the snake, shh, let's shh, go knock it down someone else's shh. But Taylor didn't feel like doing anything with anybody, so eventually they all left until Taylor was all alone. In the quiet, Taylor didn't even notice the rabbit, but it moved closer and closer until Taylor could feel its warm body. Together, they sat in silence until Taylor said, "Please stay with me." The rabbit listened. The rabbit listened as Taylor talked. The rabbit listened as Taylor shouted. The rabbit listened as Taylor remembered and laughed. The rabbit listened to Taylor's plans to hide, to throw everything away, to ruin things for someone else. Through it all, the rabbit never left. And when the time was right, the rabbit listened to Taylor's plan to build again. "I can't wait," Taylor said. "It's going to be amazing."
When Things Fall Apart by Pema Chodron. We think that if we just meditated enough or jogged enough or ate perfect food, everything would be perfect. But from the point of view of someone who is awake, that's death. Seeking security or perfection, rejoicing in feeling confirmed and whole, self-contained and comfortable is some kind of death. It doesn't have any fresh air. There's no room for something to come in and interrupt all that. We are killing the moment by controlling our experience. Doing this is setting ourselves up for failure, because sooner or later, we're going to have an experience we can't control. Our house is going to burn down. Someone we love is going to die. We're going to find out we have cancer. A brick is going to fall out of the sky and hit us in the head. Somebody is going to spill tomato juice all over our white suit, or we're going to arrive at our favorite restaurant and discover that no one ordered produce and 700 people are coming for lunch. The essence of life is that it's challenging. Sometimes it is sweet and sometimes it is bitter. Sometimes your body tenses and sometimes it relaxes or opens. Sometimes you have a headache, and sometimes you feel 100% healthy. From an awakened perspective, trying to tie up all the loose ends and finally get it together is death, because it involves rejecting a lot of your basic experience. There is something aggressive about that approach to life, trying to flatten out all the rough spots and imperfections into a nice, smooth ride. To be fully alive, fully human, and completely awake is to be continually thrown out of the nest. To live fully is to be always in no man's land, to experience each moment as completely new and fresh. To live is to be willing to die over and over again. From the awakened point of view, that's life. Death is wanting to hold on to what you have and to try every experience to confirm you and congratulate you and make you feel completely together.
Thank you for the story and the reading. The reading today is from a Buddhist perspective. So if we know some of Buddhism, it might not surprise us to hear reflecting those teachings about impermanence, about letting go of expectations, letting go of an attachment. Chodron says, sooner or later, we're going to have an experience we cannot control. Our house is going to burn down. Someone we love is going to die. We're going to find out we have cancer. A brick is going to fall out of the sky and hit us on the head. Someone's going to spill tomato juice all over our white suit. Or we're going to arrive at our favorite restaurant and discover that no one ordered produce and 700 people are coming for lunch. The essence of life is that it's challenging. Sometimes it is sweet and sometimes it is bitter. Sometimes your body tenses and sometimes it relaxes or opens. Sometimes you have a headache and sometimes you feel 100% healthy. Now there's truth here, right? There's truth here. Life is ever-changing. Life can be extremely hard. And the litany Trojan shares is full of outside events. As I see them, our house is going to burn down. Someone we love is going to die. These are external events. But we could just as easily look inside to find strife and hardship, right? Why just look outside? Find some strife and hardship inside, right? We are going to make a mistake. We will respond poorly to an experience. We will lash out with anger. An opportunity for connection will go unheeded. We are going to spill tomato juice all over our own white suit. And this is where I want to go for a little bit this morning, of recognizing our own faults, our own imperfections, our own cracks, our own scars. Is the facade sometimes that our culture puts up, our facade that our culture tells us to put up, is like this jar. If you notice, there are two jars up here. You can always get up, walk around, see them if you can't. The facade our culture tells us to put up is like this unbroken jar. Perfect in its seal, but nothing is getting in or out of that jar while it's closed, right? But in reality, we might be more like that jar, which is broken, which has cracks, which has pieces that like don't quite fit back in the way they started, which has some pieces that are missing. And actually, there are pieces that may fall out still. That's not quite glued well. Right? Sometimes we're more like the broken jar, right? No matter what we think about ourselves, no matter what we sometimes feel about others around us, people are not perfect, right? Imperfection may be obvious, but sometimes it's hard to live with that reality. Like it's obvious to be like, oh, of course I know I'm imperfect. I know these people are imperfect. But sometimes to live with that mindfully, to live with that ever-present, that we are imperfect. I want to be perfect. I want everyone to see parts of myself which I'm proud of, right? Areas of my life which I don't want people to see, right? There may be areas that I'm ashamed of. I don't want to put those forward, or places that I'm not proud of. I don't want to show my mistakes to others. And we can think about social media as a sort of example, but a very glaring example of what gets showed on social media. It's usually the good, the amazing, the perfect. I can choose what to share for my life, and I can edit any photo of myself that I want to put out there. Like, wow, I look really good. Okay, share that one. This one, oh, I feel fat. Well, I'm not going to share that picture. I'm just going to delete it. It's gone. Okay, right? I'm not going to write a status update about when I'm feeling racked with guilt. I'm not going to post a picture when I feel ugly. But I bet we can all think of times, places, of the cracks we have, the cracks we feel we have or we actually have. And for the most part, I think it might be easier to think of our own faults. I hear music. Our own faults, our own errors. Then remember that others do too. Sometimes we interact with someone else, we think, oh my gosh, I have all this hardship, all this stuff going on, and we don't remember that the other person does too. And it can be hard when we interact with others to remember that they may be living with pain, sorrow, regret. For when you think of your own cracks, the heartache you're trying to heal from, the behavior you wish you could stop. You should remember that the person next to you is dealing with that too. And I talk about bring your true selves, and remember the person next to you is also trying to bring them true selves. And they're bringing your true selves means bringing our imperfections, our cracks, right? The person you are in love with, the person you are in anger with, they're all imperfect people dealing with things. They all have pieces missing, pieces glued in, not quite right, cracks showing. We need to handle ourselves and others tenderly, recognizing that we have these tender, soft spots. It means the inclination can be to ignore them or gloss them over. And we want others to sort of gloss over their tender spots. But the places where there are cracks, right, I'm going to go back to these jars for a little. The places where there's a crack, where there's tenderness, right, this is how the light gets in or gets out here. Right? Remember what Leonard Cohen sung in the prelude, forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Leonard Cohen's lyric is actually a paraphrasing of the Persian poet Rumi, who did the come, come wherever you are. That's Rumi, also paraphrased. The wound is the place where the light enters you. What does that mean? That the crack is where the light gets in. It's not getting in this vessel. What does that mean? The wound is the place where the light enters you. Well, for me, letting the light in a crack, letting the light in a wound has two meanings, one very physical, a physical wound, and one with an emotional wound. And I know we have some medical professionals here, and this is where we look at the physical wound, a tangible opening. If you have a cut on your finger or on your hand or somewhere else and it gets dirty, what's the first thing you need to do? You gotta clean it out. Yeah, you gotta clean it. And if a wound starts to heal when it's still dirty, or if it gets infected, the wound has to be opened up again. You have to open it up again. There must be space for that cleaning to happen before the physical wound can heal. An infected wound, I know, is not like the most pleasant mental image. But for me, this example, it just makes a lot of sense to think about a wound that's healing up but hasn't had the sometimes extremely painful process of cleaning it out. Right? A physical wound may need to be reopened before that real deep healing can take place. And it happens with emotional wounds too. Right? In therapy and counseling, it's widely recognized that the moment that a person is most open to change in their life, and I know we have people who do therapy here too, the moment a person is most open to change in their life is in times of crisis. Times when you are so wide open that you're open to change too. Humans are not generally good at change, right? And it's at those times when everything going on is not normal, it's very hard. When everything is going normal, it's very hard to say, well, I want to change what I'm doing. I want to alter my life. That's very, very difficult to make adjustments. But when I'm in crisis mode, when my whole world is turned upside down, that's when I'm most open to changing how I view the world, to changing what I do, to changing my outlook, right? Sometimes it's that extreme experience which breaks down the defensive walls enough for me to see, wow, I really need to do something different, right? If you or a beloved has been in addiction, it is those times, the quote, hitting bottom, and sometimes hitting bottom feels like you're going past bottom, that's when that healing can start, when those changes can take place. Now, what does this mean for us? What this means for us, both in terms of healing, and these both types of healing, is that we need to be aware of our own cracks, our own brokenness, and have them be places where healing can occur. It's only when I recognize that I have a cut can I clean it out and put an antibiotic on it. And only when I recognize my failings can I begin to let in friends, family, a therapist, a doctor, beloved community to help heal. Listen to these words from Rabbi Bradley Artson. He's the dean of the Ziegler School of Rabbinical Studies at American Jewish University. This life is not for the perfect. It is not for the flawless. It is not for the whole. If you, like me, there are parts of you that are very good. There are parts of you that are aching. There are parts of you that strive and fall short. There are parts of you that feel broken. Those are the parts that let in the light. Don't run from your imperfections. Don't hide from your brokenness. Broken bones regrow stronger at the very location where they are broken. There, those are the spots where the light will shine through. Now, I'm not a medical professional. I don't know that bones broken are actually stronger there. But this is the crux of our mission as a faith community. And this is also the question of how we do it. We are called to be compassionate. We're called to be compassionate, to nourish minds and spirits, to help spread love and heal the world. And yet we are all broken. So how do we do that? How on earth can I be compassionate when I'm in need of compassion? How do we heal each other, ourselves, and the world when we also need that healing? But Rabbi Artson said, don't hide from your brokenness. Those are the spots where the light will shine through. And I'm going to look at the jars again. I keep coming back. I really had fun making these, and also I like them as an illustration. I mean, making these. I only, quote, made that one. Right? They both have lights in them. See? If you can see that, there's a light. There's a light in there. There's a light in both of these jars. You can only see the one because it's cracked, because it's imperfect, because there are holes in it. I don't have to take off the lid. This one, you cannot see. Right? The illustration here is almost the opposite of what Rumi and Cohen were talking about, saying the light comes in. But it's, I think, more important illustration. The more important illustration is that more than the light can get in is that the light can get out. This light is shining out through these cracks, through these holes. Right? The light from inside is coming out. Our light, our humanity, our holiness shines out through our brokenness, shines out through our imperfections, shines out through our cracks. And I have an example from last week, and actually it's pretty much every week in this beloved community. We set aside a time each week called Matters of the Heart, where people can come forward and share those great joys and those great sorrows in their lives. And last week there were a number of instances when I saw cracks, and I saw light shining out from people and shining in. There was a lot of vulnerability. There was a lot of compassion, right? There were tears of joy, tears of sadness for life transitioned, for unwelcome grief, for unrepentant joy. And people opened up with that vulnerability and that care. And when they showed this community pain, imperfection, they received compassion. They gave compassion. They increased connections through that vulnerability. Now, it's a bit strange in our culture that vulnerability in you looks like courage. Vulnerability in me looks like weakness. Did you catch that right? Vulnerability in someone else looks like courage. Vulnerability in ourselves looks like weakness. That's what our culture tells us, is that I don't want to share my faults because people will think I'm weak. Oh my gosh, but if you share what's going on and what you have failed, you are strong, you are courageous, you are brave. There's an interesting switching of that, and it would be really neat if we could look at ourselves and say, I can be vulnerable too, and that's bravery. That's not weakness, that's strength. Right? And this is how we can give and receive compassion from a place of brokenness, a place of vulnerability. Because I can only begin to comprehend what someone else is going through because I too have my sorrows, my heartbreaks, my own despairs. I can relate to you because I am human. You have pain. I have pain. And this is where it's helpful to remember that we are all humans together, that we all have weaknesses, we all have faults, we all are broken. And then we can show those cracks, those broken areas. There's space for compassion, there's space for connection, there's space for healing and empathy, right? Because if we only pretend our perfection, if we pretend I am perfect and everything is great, we're building up these walls where no one can reach through, of distance, walls of distance, walls of indifference. And we can break through those walls with compassion, with conversation, with understanding, by being vulnerable, by showing our cracks. And you don't even have to have the same, like, you don't have to have the exact same experience as someone. It's just showing that you're human, that you too can relate, right? This is the essence. This is the essence of having compassion through vulnerability. The essence is that there's really no other way. There's really no other way. We're striving for empathy, for feeling with people. And only when we open ourselves up with that vulnerability can we connect with others, healing from brokenness. Empathy is a vulnerable choice. Dr. Brené Brown, I don't know if you know her, she's amazing. Renowned writer, storyteller, research professor who has spent more than a decade researching vulnerability, courage, worthiness, and shame. Like, yeah, she does some deep stuff and she's really good. She says this: vulnerability is the birthplace of love, belonging, joy, courage, empathy, and creativity. It is the source of hope, empathy, accountability, and authenticity. If we want greater clarity in our purpose or deeper and more meaningful spiritual lives, vulnerability is the path. This is the essence of being broken and letting that light shine out. The world is broken. We are all broken. And that's exactly where we bring our compassion from. That's exactly where we heal from. The cracks in our lives is where we let our light out for compassion. The cracks in our lives is where we let that light of compassion into us. So let us be vulnerable. Let us be imperfect together. Let us be vulnerable in our healing and vulnerable in our compassion. Amen and amen.
If I give you every piece of me, I know that you could drop it. Give you the chance, I know that you could take advantage, but you got it. If I open up my heart to you, I know that you can lock it. Throw away the key and keep it down forever in your pocket. If I give the opportunity to you, then would you blow it? If I was the greatest thing to happen to you, would you know it? Stay vulnerable.
Good morning. I'm Alex Dooley here representing the CARE team, and it's time for Matters of the Heart, which is our embodied faith, the fact that each week we set aside a special time to be vulnerable. We know the importance of sharing, as we've talked about this morning, to bring forward the highs and lows which come pouring out of our lives. And we know the importance of hearing from others' lives. If you feel so moved, I invite you to come forward and briefly share a joy or a sorrow into the far right mic, or for you, far left microphone. And if you're online, you can raise your hand physically or virtually, and we'll get you unmuted. Please start with your name.
Share, we can bring this time of sharing to a close, as we often do, by singing Spirit of Life. This week, it will be done by our very own Christine Perry, in spirit at least, since she's not here with us today. And please feel free to sing along as you are willing and able.
Reflection today is a meditation on broken hearts, so I invite you to get comfortable in your seat, soften your gaze, or close your eyes if you're comfortable. Let us enter into a time of meditation, contemplation, and prayer. Feel the earth beneath your feet as it supports you. Feel the love of this community as it surrounds and enfolds you. Feel your breath as it flows in and out of your body. Listen to your heartbeat. Listen to your heart. And how is it with your heart? Does your heart feel whole, shielded by intellect, cocooned by reason, closed to feeling? Or is it broken, fragile to the touch, brimming with the pain of loss? Or has your heart been broken and healed so many times that it now lies open to the world, knowing that true growth comes not without pain, that tears may wear down barriers, that we may carry the hearts of others, even when our own is too heavy for us to bear? None of us have an unblemished heart, not one, for such perfection can be found only in death, and we who are still alive still have much to heal. So let us give thanks for the broken places in our hearts and in our lives, for it is only through such brokenness that we may truly touch one another. And only through touching one another that the world may be healed. Let us give thanks then for the brokenness that we share. You can open your eyes.
Our closing hymn is number 6, For All That Is. Nope. See, I told you I would make mistakes. That was it right there. Just as long as I have breath. Number 6, please rise in body or in spirit.
Just as long as I have breath, I must answer yes to life. Though with pain I made my way, still with hope I meet each day. If they asked what I did well, tell them I said yes to life.
As we go, may we remember that we were never meant to make it through this life alone. Vulnerability is a doorway, friends. Those wounded and tender pieces of ourselves help us return to each other. What seems wounded or unworthy, when shared, becomes our strength. May it be so. Amen and blessed be.